Over 50% of UK businesses pay their employees through Sage Payroll. It's easy to set up and helps you stay compliant with workplace and pension regulations. Pay your employees in seconds, and for real peace of mind, you can speak to our experts when you need help most. Accounting, payroll, and payments. Sage Business Cloud takes care of it all. Visit sage.com/get started. Be Sage. Build on.
Monday, March 12th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, that is Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together and we talk sports every single weekday, and we try to do it with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Monday to you. It is time to get back to work after what I can only hope was a restful weekend. Just hoping for your sake that you did get some rest, you didn't stay out too late, you didn't do too much drinking, you didn't do too much partying, and that you're actually rested and ready to go. And you know the best part? We even got to set our clocks forward this weekend. Wasn't that a wonderful touch? Man, that's a good time, isn't it? You know, I woke up yesterday and I realized I was actually an hour closer to having to go back to work, to like get back into the grind of things. Why in the world? In this day and age, it is 2018, why in the world can't we bump our clocks forward on Friday afternoons? I don't understand. If you get off at 5, hey, 4 o'clock, we bump it forward, go ahead, take off for the weekend. Makes no sense to me. I mean, at least we will have an extra hour of daylight in the evening. That's kind of nice. Granted, you start dozing off at like 7 p.m., so I don't know if it helps us that much right away, but it does help us eventually. That's kind of nice. And another positive on this whole switching the clock forward thing, at least that stupid clock in your car is finally correct again, right? It's kind of nice. It's kind of a nice touch. You get in your car. Oh yeah, I don't have to calculate that hour like I used to. Look at me being all positive this morning, right? On a Monday. Pretty good here for the Daily Dose. You thought I might be full of negativity here on a Monday. No way. Not going to happen. Not on this Monday. And do you know why? Do you know why we're feeling particularly good here at the Daily Dose, despite the fact that we passed out an hour later than usual on our weekend binge? Do you know why we're feeling great today? Because March Madness is finally here, folks. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is a magical time of the year. It is that time of the year when people who literally never watch basketball of any kind are telling us about perimeter defensive ratings and points per possession efficiency and who beat which quadrant. We get it, Jeff in accounting. You looked up some stats, but you still can't tell the difference between a man and his own defense. So don't come out here telling us all what's what and who you think is going to win this bracket. Hey, filling out that office bracket is important, isn't it? Like when you get in today, and for those who are listening, like worldwide, like if you're not in the States, you might not realize this Monday is one of the least productive Mondays in the United States because everyone is printing their college basketball bracket and filling it in. So we don't get a whole lot done on these Mondays. We just don't. Filling out that office bracket pool is important to us here. Not only is there cash on the line, because usually everybody pitches in a few bucks, you put it in the pot, winner takes the pot, right? Makes it kind of interesting, makes it kind of fun, gives everybody a rooting interest. Everybody's got a chance to win this thing. But not only is there a chance to win some cash, always lucrative, there are also bragging rights at stake within your office politics, aren't there? I mean, by God, if geriatric Nancy from sales support somehow beats you for a third year in a row, you're not going to be able to show your face at a happy hour on Friday again. I can promise you that. Never fear. If you have some questions about filling out your bracket, Daily Dose listener, we are going to be helping you all week long. We're going to be talking March Madness all week. Settle in, get ready for the Daily Dose because we are going to be helping you every day this week. Just get ready to fill out that bracket. Plus, there's a ton of things going on in sports right now. It is a wonderful, amazing time of the year. If you would like to contact the show and tell us which matchup you might be struggling the most with on this Monday, we would love to, I don't know, steer you the wrong way. Got a 50-50 shot, right? Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Today on the show, we will be recapping the weekend in sports. Of course, those March Madness brackets did come out yesterday, and while the true games don't actually start until Thursday, we'll be getting ready for the most wonderful time of the year all this week. NFL free agency is about to get started on Wednesday, and we saw some movement this weekend, including a team that got really, really busy. Not sure any of us saw that one coming. We've got a few things we've got to get to today on this Monday. Number of things coming out in the world of sports. Like I said, it was a wild weekend in conference tournaments in college basketball. We saw some upsets. We saw some very, very good teams that were favorites to win their conference get knocked out. We saw a few Cinderellas that I don't think any of us had penciled into the brackets. I know, who is it? The guy that does the bracketology over on ESPN. I know he didn't pick all those. Did pretty well, but he didn't get some of those right. There were a few upsets in those conference tournaments. I'm not sure if you watched the new NCAA tournament selection show that was on Sunday. You know, TBS tried to revamp it. It's been with ESPN, went over to TBS, and TBS tried to kind of touch some things up and change the look a little bit. They had a live studio audience, for one. That was a little different. As they announced each team, one random person in the crowd, "Go UNC Greensboro!" It's kind of weird. I don't know. I don't know what the live studio audience added. And then, instead of revealing the brackets, TBS told us just the teams who made it alphabetically. And then, after that, then they gave us the actual lineup of the actual brackets. I will be completely honest. I hated it. But maybe that's just me. I don't know. You know, the talk was that ESPN had received complaints about how long it took them to reveal who had actually gotten in. Like, they started it at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and by like 4:50, they finally got around to telling us who had actually gotten in. They talked a lot. They built it all up. We saw some live shots around the country, but they wouldn't actually tell us who got in. So TBS, what they did is they told us right away who got in. Like, they just listed the teams alphabetically. Here's who's in. But we still didn't know the matchups. I mean, nice try, but that was kind of a swing and a miss. And in fact, I think you managed to kind of stretch out revealing the brackets even longer than what we were getting. Because, I mean, some of the fun of the reveal is seeing who you are going to play, when the game is going to take place, where you are going to be going. And they kind of just kept stretching it out and out and out and out. I mean, I want to see who gets in. I want to see who they play. I want to see where they are seated. I want to know who is seated where. I don't know. I guess TBS was like, "Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to reveal the teams, but we really want to get this thing alphabetized." Yes, finally, alphabetical teams. I can't stand it when they announce the teams out of alphabetical order. It just screws up everything, doesn't it? It's chaos. It's chaos is what it is. Whatever. I don't know if there were any huge surprises. I was a little surprised that Oklahoma got in. You can't tell me that the NCAA selection committee doesn't look at the names of the teams on the agenda here. Because the Oklahoma Sooners are like 3-9 in their last 12 games. They haven't beaten anyone of significance since, I don't know, maybe January? But they have Trae Young, which, you know, the committee wanted to get into the field. So Oklahoma gets in. I wasn't quite sure about that one. I mean, they get in. A team like St. Mary's, who played in a softer conference, but played everyone they could play and looked like a legitimate team, doesn't get in. Notre Dame, a team that looked like they were getting better now that they're getting healthy, doesn't get in. But at the end of the day, let's all be very, very clear. This selection committee is about ratings. I mean, we all know, as much as they say they're not, we don't even look at the teams on the card. We just look at the records and we just look at, no, you don't. Don't give us that. We all know what you're looking at. There's too many coincidences that just happen to take place that you're not looking at who the name is. We know full well you are. You can lie to us if you want to. We're just not going to believe you. But Oklahoma gets in. We'll see how they do. It is always interesting to me because it seems like every year we have one team that gets in that probably shouldn't. And for the week up to the games, everyone is talking about, did this team deserve to get in? Did this team deserve to get in? There's no way this team should have got in over this team. And then when the tournament starts, that team has been hearing that all week, they go out with a huge chip on their shoulder and somehow steal a win. Wouldn't be surprised a bit to see Oklahoma do something like that. Hey, coming back, we have a number of other things to recap in the weekend of sports. We're going to continue to discuss the NCAA bracket. Plus, Tiger Woods was actually interesting for the first time since, I don't know, he was dating Lindsey Vonn. And we do have some NFL news to talk, including one player that could find himself in some serious trouble with the NFL or with someone even scarier than Roger Goodell. We'll have all of that after this.
Solfeggio in C minor. It's just over a minute long, but certainly packs a lot in. Much like the all-new Honda Jazz Sport. Surprisingly spacious, and with adaptable magic seats, it's a comfortable fit for you and your passengers. Book your test drive today. Visit honda.co.uk/classic. The all-new Honda Jazz Sport. Compact, but cleverly composed.
Of course, as we look at that NCAA tournament, Villanova, Kansas, Xavier, and Virginia did get the top seeds in the dance. I'm not sure that there was really any debate there. I don't know if there's any other teams that we could have plugged into those spots. All four of those teams playing very, very well down the stretch. In fact, the only team of those four that didn't win their final game was Xavier, who lost to Providence in the Big East Conference tournament. But there's no question, Xavier is one of the top teams in the country. And I don't think there's anyone that you could say really should have jumped over them to get that spot. I mean, maybe Cincinnati? I don't know. Cincinnati won the American East on Sunday, but they can't match up schedule-wise with the strength that Xavier had all year. So not sure that they could have really jumped them. I thought the committee did get that right with the four top seeds. I did notice one thing, though. A couple of teams that were on the bubble didn't get in. I noticed Louisville, of course, didn't make it. Southern Cal didn't make it. Thought USC might have gotten in. Oklahoma State didn't make it. Now, all three of those schools are on the bubble. We weren't sure if any of those schools were going to get in or not. Also, all three of those schools are part of that FBI investigation that is going on. Now, some of the teams, like in Arizona, I mean, Arizona is one of the top teams in the country. It's not like they can keep them out. But if you were on the bubble, I don't know. Maybe that FBI investigation did rate in just a little bit into that whole situation. I'm not saying for sure. I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe they kind of looked at it and said, yeah, they might be in some trouble. Let's go ahead and just erase them out of there because they don't need to be in there. Got some more March Madness I want to talk. Just a few minutes. A couple other news stories that I want to get to. Not sure what's going on, but Tiger Woods looked like a genuine golfer on Sunday at the Valspar Championship in Florida. And I mean, it wasn't a major, and Tiger didn't even win. And also, a number of the top players on the PGA Tour didn't participate. But it is still a positive step for Tiger Woods, who actually got to wear a red shirt for the first time in I don't even know how long. Like, when was the last time you saw Tiger Woods wearing that red shirt? He only wears it on Sundays. He hasn't even played on a Sunday in I don't know how long. Now, Tiger didn't win the tournament. Paul Casey won the tournament. But Tiger Woods had a shot to force a playoff on the 18th hole. He missed a tough putt, but there was no embarrassment there. There was no reason for him to have his head down. Tiger Woods battled. He looked like he might be making some progress. One thing I did notice about Tiger, he didn't crush the ball quite as hard as he usually tries to. It usually looks like he is just trying to smash that golf ball as hard as he possibly can and impress all of us with his big drive. He didn't do that. It looked like he kind of took a little bit off of it, laid up a little bit, was a little more conservative, and as a result, was a little more competitive. I personally, I've said it before on the Dose, I've been saying it for the last few years, I think that is the key to Tiger Woods being able to be competitive again. You can't play like you did when you were 20, 25 years old. You're a different person now. You have a different body now. But it doesn't mean you can't compete. It just means you've got to be a little bit smarter. We see this in every other sport, don't we? Like, you look at LeBron now, and I know LeBron is saying he's playing his best basketball ever. Physically, I don't think that's true, but mentally he's sharper. Mentally he's smarter. We saw that in Michael Jordan. As he got older, as he was playing his last few seasons with the Bulls, I don't know that he was better physically. He was as great as he ever was physically as a young Chicago Bull, jumping over everyone and dunking on everyone's head, but he got smarter. He started to understand the game better. He started to understand how to use his body better. We haven't always seen Tiger do that. Now, could Tiger Woods carry some of this to the Masters at Augusta in a few weeks? It's going to be worth watching. I will say this, that crowd in Palm Harbor, Florida on Sunday was absolutely electric for the success that he was having. Imagine if Tiger Woods actually showed signs of life in a major. Now, I'm going to have to see it to believe it. I don't know if he can do that over a long-term stretch. I don't know if he can continue to compete at this level. But that's why we watch sports, isn't it? To see if a guy like this could make a comeback. To see if he could do this. In Major League Baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies and free agent right-handed pitcher Jake Arrieta have agreed to a 3-year, $75 million contract. Why did it take so long for a team to sign Jake Arrieta? I mean, Tim Lincecum got a contract before Arrieta did. And I've heard that there are a few teams in the running for Arrieta. But why are we even surprised that Philadelphia ends up with him? Once again, I don't know what it is. Things are coming up Philadelphia these days. Now, I'm not sure the Phillies can do anything with him. I doubt it. But hey, Philly, keep running with it while you can. I don't know what's going on, but suddenly everything good is going on in Philadelphia. I'm telling you, LeBron James, I'm not saying he's going to sign with the Sixers. Just saying he might sign with the Sixers now after just what I've seen. Shift over to the NFL because we did see some things happening in the NFL this weekend. Saw a number of moves take place late Friday and into the weekend as teams are getting ready for free agency. They're getting ready for the NFL draft. One of the things we saw, the Seattle Seahawks make another move. They cut cornerback Richard Sherman, and it looks like Richard Sherman is going to sign with the San Francisco 49ers. So if that sort of thing is interesting to you, there you go. Go nuts. Wasn't that interesting to me, but aging corners aren't always that interesting to me. That's just me. But we did have some moves in the NFL that actually were interesting to me, and the biggest one was probably what the Cleveland Browns were doing. Because the Cleveland Browns were wheeling and dealing over the weekend after going 0-16 in 2017. Actually, after going 4-44 in their past three seasons, it looks like the Brownies have had enough. They went out and they made some moves that legitimately could improve their chances to, I don't want to say contend. I don't want to say be like a playoff player. What's the word of my, win a game. I guess that's what I'd say. They made some moves over the weekend. They might actually win a game. Maybe. Don't get too crazy. Maybe two games. The Browns traded some mid-round picks. They held on to their top draft picks. And they grabbed a few veteran players that should improve their roster. Cleveland sent a third-round pick to Buffalo for quarterback Tyrod Taylor, who it seems like had apparently frustrated the Bills. Bills management, Bills players, Bills fans, so much that they decided, you know, I don't think we can see each other anymore. We need to just agree to see other people. And, you know, maybe Tyrod just isn't capable of winning big games at this level. I don't know. But he should be an improvement and a steadying force for a team like Cleveland. That's not a bad move, but Cleveland wasn't done. Cleveland also sent a fourth and a seventh round pick to Miami for wide receiver Jarvis Landry, who they had tagged a franchise player. Now, Jarvis Landry is a talented player. No, he doesn't have the deep speed, but he is a possession guy. He's got very, very good hands. He works very hard. If you combine Jarvis Landry with Josh Gordon, who at this point should probably think about legally changing his middle name to If He Can Stay Sober. Aww. That's actually not a bad tandem, is it? Landry and Gordon? For a team that just doesn't have very many playmakers, that's a pretty decent combo right there. The Browns, bizarrely, weren't done. They also traded quarterback DeShone Kizer to Green Bay for cornerback Demarius Randall. And then they sent defensive lineman Danny Shelton to New England. That's just got a conditional pick on it. Now, I'm not sure that any of these picks turns Cleveland into much more than what they are. Maybe, possibly, they can win a game or two or three or something like that. But here is one thing that these moves do for Cleveland. They free the Browns up to draft in a completely different way, with a completely different mindset. Now that they have what we all think will be their starting quarterback, they can take Saquon Barkley with that top pick if they want to. Now you have a quarterback that can step in week one and play quarterback for you and hand it to Saquon Barkley and not sit there and say, oh no, we really needed to take a quarterback there. Now you can take Barkley if you want to. And you can also take a quarterback to groom with that number four pick if you want to. Or you can go get some help for your defense. You can go get another playmaker. The Cleveland Browns made some picks that at least look like they made sense. I got to give new GM John Dorsey a little bit of credit. I really do. I think the Browns made some solid moves. No, it doesn't transform their team right away, but I think those are good, solid moves for a franchise that desperately needs some good, solid moves. We also had an incident involving the New York Football Giants. Yeah, it seems wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Might be in some trouble, because it looks like the Giants resident genius had a video posted of him in bed with a woman eating some pizza with what looks like some lines of cocaine on the bed. And Odell Beckham Jr. is holding what looks like might be a blunt.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
I mean, we can't see him actually doing anything, but he's definitely not promoting the kind of image that the NFL is going to be happy with. You just know Roger Goodell is going to have him in his office very, very soon and tell him he is letting down the brand that we are trying to promote here. It's not a good look for Odell Beckham Jr. And again, we don't know that he actually did any of these things, but he's definitely in a situation he probably doesn't want to have on film. That's not exactly the image the NFL is trying to promote. But you know who's going to be more disappointed with Odell Beckham Jr., then Roger Goodell, then the Giants management, then Giants fans, then the kids who wear the Odell Beckham Jr. jerseys around? You know who's going to be more disappointed in him than any of those people? Former New York Giant Lawrence Taylor.
Son, I got the bad news.
That is who Odell Beckham Jr. had better be worried about. Because can you imagine Lawrence Taylor seeing this video? He's going to be like, okay, first off, you don't even hit the blunt. What are you doing? You don't snort any of the cocaine. And that girl that's in the video, she looks like she is probably of age. Don't you know how to do anything right? Hey, coming back, we are going to discuss a few things that have never taken place in March Madness. As you are filling out your bracket, and we are going to try to help you do that, there are a few things that have never happened in the history of March Madness. We want to make you aware of those before you start writing those teams in on that paper for your office pool.
They're getting closer.
What do we do?
Well, I'm going to have a go at Betway's 4-to-score game for a chance to win 25 grand.
What?
Relax. It's free to play every week. You simply predict the first teams to score in the top four English leagues.
The time has come.
You're right. We'd be howling mad to miss this one.
I could win 25 grand.
For the love of the game, Betway. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Just a quick reminder that if you do have any shopping to do, you might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. March's Loot Crate theme is called Playback. It features items from Back to the Future, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dungeons and Dragons, and The Simpsons. But if you go over to Loot Crate, you can find pretty much anything you could think of. Best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type in Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Now, I told you we were going to try to help you fill out those March Madness brackets so that you can win your office pool. It's funny, you know, because when you start filling out that bracket, if you just go with all the favorites, that's fine. You can pick up a few wins, but you also end up tied with like 8 other people in your office. So you might start thinking, I should tweak my bracket. I need to differ from everyone else so that I can win the pot, right? And that's fine. Just be careful, because we have a few things that have never happened in the tournament. Now you can sit here and you can say, well, I'm going to defy history and I'm going to predict something to happen that hasn't ever happened in almost 80 years of the tournament's existence, or maybe you should shy away from some of these things that are taking place. Here are a few things that have never happened in the history of March Madness. Some of them you're already going to know, But I promise you, some of them you probably don't know. First and foremost, here's a common one that you know. A number 16 seed has never beaten a number one seed. They've come close a few times. It's never happened. 15 different times, the number one versus number 16 matchup has been decided by single digits. But a 16 seed has never won a single game in this tournament. Now, I do think it's going to happen one day. There's more parity. The hugely dominant teams, it seems like, are becoming more and more rare. Could this be the year it finally happens? I mean, never say never, but pick a 16 at your own risk. That's a very dangerous pick. Another thing that's never happened. A number one seed has never not made the Elite Eight. Now, you might want to pick a number of upsets. We're going to see a number of upsets. But be careful about knocking all of your number one seeds out. You might think you're being unique and picking a different set of Elite Eights than anyone else will have. I'm getting twos, I'm getting threes, I'm getting fours. But you better mix in a one in that group, because a one has always made it to the Elite Eight. The Final Four, that's a different story. But a number one seed always gets to the round of eight. Another thing that has never happened, the leading scorer in NCAA basketball has never gone to the Final Four since the introduction of the three-point shot. So if you are buying into the Oklahoma Sooners and their high-scoring guard Trae Young, who averaged 27 points per game this year, if you think Oklahoma's going to get on a roll, be the surprise of the tournament, maybe they're going to win four games, get to the Final Four, yeah, you might be disappointed. You know, coaches at this level can game plan a one-man team right out of the tournament. They'll run junk at him. They'll give him different looks on every possession if needed. But teams need more balance in a one-and-done type of tournament. It's not that hard to shut down one guy. Another thing that's never happened in March Madness, a national championship game has never taken place between schools from the same state except for, wait for it, the state of Ohio.
What?
In 1961 and 1962, Ohio State and Cincinnati met in the final, back-to-back years. The Bearcats actually won both of those games. But other than that, we have never seen two teams from the same state play for it all. Now, keep that in mind when you think of schools from, say, Michigan or North Carolina or Texas. You can pick two teams from the same state to get all the way to the final, but the odds aren't going to be in your favor. Something else to keep in mind, a team seeded 9 or lower has never made it to the national championship game. We know this is a tournament where Cinderellas can shine, and they do shine, but they usually only shine for the first few rounds. After that, the big dogs usually take over, and we return to form with the higher-ranked teams moving on. Remember, the lowest seed to ever win this thing was number 8 Villanova back in 1985, and that was the exception. That's not the norm. So pick your upsets. But if you start falling in love with those seeds that are a 9 or higher, and you think they're going to keep advancing, you might be talking yourself into something a little bit crazy. If you're falling in love with like a 12, be careful. Speaking of the 12, we all know that every year we have a 12 seed upset a 5 seed. I say nearly every year, because we actually didn't have one as recently as 2015. But since the expansion of the tournament in 1985, in 29 of 32 years, we have seen a 12 beat a 5. Of course, you can't pick every 12 to beat a 5. I mean, I guess you can, but it doesn't happen that often. But here's one thing to think about. There will be 4 5 versus 12 matchups. It's rare all of the 5s get beat. But you also can't fall in love with any of those 5 seeds either, because a 5 seed has never won this tournament. We've seen 1s, 2s, 3s, 4s. We have never seen a 5 seed win the entire tournament. Final thing that we're going to throw out there that usually doesn't happen. A number 1 seed almost always makes it to the Final Four. The tournament didn't start seeding teams until 1979. But in those 38 seasons, a number 1 has only failed to qualify 3 times. There are pretty good odds that all 4 of the top seeds are not going to get eliminated, even though a few of them usually do. On that same subject, all 4 number 1 seeds have only made a Final Four 1 single time. So like your top seeds, you don't have to love your top seeds. 1 is going to make it. Are all 4 going to make it? It's usually pretty rare. It's only happened 1 time. Just few things to keep in mind as you are filling out your bracket. Hope that helps a little bit. Now, These are just a few of the things that have happened historically. Do they honestly matter to these 64, 68, whatever they call it, teams? No, of course not. We're simply saying that the odds aren't in your favor if you are going to pick against these things. That doesn't mean they can't. I mean, if we're looking at things historically, Xavier has never been a number one seed. That changed this year. Keep this in mind. Anything can happen in March Madness. Hey, we have a full week packed with more Daily Dose for you. We will be talking more March Madness all week. We'll be previewing. We'll be recapping the games. We will be looking at this tournament. NFL free agency begins on Wednesday. Of course, we will have our Daily Dose top five on Friday. It is going to be a busy week here at the Daily Dose. Have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, it is very, very appreciated. Hey, if you are not subscribed to the Daily Dose wherever you listen, please, please, please be sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday.
Yourself in the driving seat with the dedicated Sky Sports F1 channel for £18 a month. Watch every practice, qualifying and race live. Now with free HD. So if you love F1, only pay for F1 for £18 a month. Search Sky Sports F1.
Requires Sky TV subscription. Free HD for 18 months with Sky Sports. Thereafter, HD £6 per month. Offer ends 28th of June. Further terms apply.